Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my fabulous co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Good evening,
Veronica.
Everybody. Hi, Jackie. It's nice to start with a laugh, isn't it?
Well, I was running around, so yes. Tonight's show topic, the shadow continues, dealing with astral energies. And they've been playing games, so it was pretty funny. The show announcement did not go out until an hour ago because I sent it out last night, but gee, it didn't go. And so tonight we're really gonna talk about how to recognize and clear them, where they come from, and how they affect our reality and our personal lives.
Well, that's gonna be helpful.
Yes, I think so, and certainly it's been in my face for a week, so I always know that when that happens, it's time to bring it forward to everyone. I want to remind everyone tonight, I don't know how many people are tuning in for the first time or maybe weren't aware or forgot, please remember, everybody, that the healing energies are coming right into your home. Set your intentions. If you ask for assistance, the energies will come in and work with you. The teams are fabulous, very loving. They would never override your intentions. Everything is always, and, you know, I always tell people, call on your higher self, soul, and oversoul. Let them be the gatekeeper of the experience. And enjoy them. And tonight, I want to do a show dedication to the continued dissemination of the truth of ET contact on the planet. This last week, we have had a flurry of activity, wonderful activity, by the way, regarding UFOs. Larry King did a splendid show last Friday about the truth of ET contact. He had some wonderful people on the show, including those at, and I'm sorry, I'll mess up the name, Remelstedt or whatever, in England, where these military people actually talked about touching a ship that was actually on the ground, and their experiences. It was a fabulous show. Of course, he had Shirley MacLaine on as well. It is available on YouTube for any of you that may have missed it. So if you go on to YouTube, just search Larry King plus UFOs. You should find it right away. I will have a link to the show in the December newsletter.
What did Larry King think of it?
Well, you know, Larry never offers his own opinions, but he did the show because this Monday, there was a Washington Press Club conference, and this included 14 men from 7 different countries talking about their UFO experiences, including former Governor Bud Symington of Arizona, who talked about his experience, of course, with the Phoenix Light. And so this also had press coverage on CNN on the Anderson Cooper show, which I thought was wonderful. And that is also available on YouTube. And again, I will send a link to Anderson Cooper's coverage of the press conference. So we've had, a flurry of activity in this last 6 days. Wonderful activity. This is really, I consider it to be very positive, very big stuff when it's on Larry King. And, after Larry did his work with the book The Secret and those people who were, wrote and participated in the presentation of the material, and now to go to, the entire subject of UFOs, I think this is really, really positive for Cooper or Anderson Cooper to have it on. That made me even more excited.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first began this work 3.5 years ago, there was on CNN the government of Mexico had an international press conference where they went on record stating that UFOs were real, and they had footage of being their one of their military aircraft being followed by a number of UFOs. And the footage was just irrefutable. It was on CNN for a few minutes and then absolutely was quashed. Interestingly enough, so much happens where I live in Las Vegas with Area 51 and Nellis Air Force Base. My son went to work the next day, and or actually that day he was at work, and I came home that night and told me that one of the girls at work, her boyfriend worked out at Nellis, and they immediately were put to work to try to debunk it. So that kind of gives you an idea of what's going on in our country in terms of trying to quash information. So for it to get through the media and top media officials and be able to actually be on the air, it's very big. So I think that this is a very positive move, a really positive move for the truth and dissemination of information. And we'll see what happens from it here, for it, you know, see what happens from here. I'm fascinated. I'm excited. You know, they're really requesting that the government start disclosing, you know, whether they will or not is really what's more important is for people to have an opportunity to hear very normal people. And this is something they stressed in the press coverage. These were not what they considered to be kooky people. These were all very normal people from around the world talking about their experiences. So I think that's real exciting.
It's very exciting. Evolution.
I'm sorry?
It's the evolution.
Absolutely. It absolutely is the evolution. It's exactly what we really want to see happening. We want to see positive disclosure happening. This is not about finger pointing, and certainly, you know, we've talked about this in past shows about amnesty for those that have information so that they can come forward with no fear of reprisal about bringing forward information that they do have regarding extraterrestrial technologies and crash retrievals. And, you know, certainly there's a plethora of information available. You know, I will always recommend ProjectCamelot.net, I believe it is. They have some wonderful videos on there, interviews that they've done with very interesting information. Some of it, you know, there's one particular person that I have difficulty with in terms of the motivation of the and the clarity of the information that comes through. I tend to be a little cautious with sensationalism, but a good amount of it is very wonderful information. The interviews are fascinating. They've got some really good people on there. And YouTube also has a lot of information coming forward now. Again, you know, I recommend to everybody to use discernment, okay? Mm. You know, the ET UFO phenomena can dredge up a lot of people who are just looking for an opportunity for their 15 minutes of fame.
Really?
So... so let's talk about astral energies because, you know, this is such a fascinating subject to me. And because I'm kind of out there in the ethers all the time, I don't tend to focus on astral. It shocks me sometimes when I see it. I'm kind of, you know, taken back. I do have clients that come to the house here for sessions. And I have one young man that works in the casinos, and he has a very lovely position, and definitely a star being, has had personal contact since he was a child. And, you know, he walked in one day, and he was just loaded with stuff. And, you know, we went up into the healing room, and I don't generally do hands-on, and the first thing I did was clear all this stuff off of him and send it out. And, you know, to me it's kind of matter of fact. I don't really think much about it. You know, people have said, well, did you send them to the light? Did you cross them up? No, I just got them out.
Moving right along, yeah.
Really? Well, you know. but what's been fascinating to me, and it's shown up in just so many places lately, it's also answered a lot of questions for me. And because I don't tend to focus on the astral, in other words, my vision, my connection tends to be in the higher realms, I just don't focus. And I don't think you do either, Veronica, do you?
I try not to, but maybe we should explain exactly what the astral is, if we know exactly what it is.
Yes, and I was going to go there. Okay. Astral energies. well, this is a whole other discussion. Astral energies can include even thought forms. I mean, this is where, you know, the level of responsibility we have as people is to remember that everything goes somewhere. And, you know, all thought forms actually exist somewhere. You know, I had heard this in theory, but I actually experienced it in my good friend in California, her daughter, who I often talk about, who opened when I did. The first time I visited their home after, you know, we had open portals with them going back and forth between us, carrying on these hysterical conversations. And when I first started the work, it was just very funny and very fun. And I spent the night there. I knew, of course, that she had a portal there. And in fact, I could see the ship stacked up when I drove in at night. So I went to bed, and I got up the next morning. I was infuriated because I was... Literally, there were thought forms floating around the house. There had been no protocol on the portal, and it was just absolutely a mess. There was everything and anything in there. And, you know, not only were there, if you want to use the term, star beings, I prefer, okay, star beings there, but there were also astral, there were thought forms. There was just all kinds of stuff in there. And I told them, I don't know how you've kept your sanity. It was like Grand Central Station. I mean, I said, you guys must have been fighting like crazy, all of you, the whole family, because it's so chaotic here. So we put protocol on the portal, cleaned it up, and boom, it was, you know, everything was gone. Now, I had a personal experience with this when I began the work. The portal was open before I moved into the house. That's a whole other show. I won't even go into that tonight, how that all occurred. And they were already building a clinic in another dimension in my home, the home that I was going to move into that I didn't know I was going to move into. This is how pre-planned all this was. and they made certain I would know the home because of different things. The person that was leasing it happened to be a friend of mine. And it just, you know, the healing room was absolutely, I knew that I would know as soon as I walked in the door. Not only did I know, but I could see them up there building the clinic, which I thought was very funny. But because the portal was open and all was going on the way it was, I also had a lot of astral energy and disembodied spirits, and some of whom were very unhappy about the whole, you know, star being thing. You know, they were still locked into fitness. You know, this goes to the fact that just because we cross over doesn't mean we get any smarter. Locked into their religious beliefs and very upset about what was going on, okay? It went against their fundamentalist beliefs, and somehow they had missed their window to cross over into the light. We got a lot of that stuff crossed over and cleaned up. And but there was one astral energy that really was a problem. And I was too novice at the time to really get what's going on fully. And this astral energy seemed to take on energy from everything that was happening. And when I would go into the healing room, I started getting horrible migraines. Now, it did not impact the healing sessions. Those were wonderful. Everybody was, in fact, they were off the map. They were too wonderful. And as I was talking with Veronica last night, I mean, when we first started, when you're dealing with energies on the other side of the veil like this, you know, things were happening that were so big, it was, we had to tone it way, way, way down, you know. Humans couldn't handle what was happening. It was too much. People were becoming instantly psychic and being able to see things that, it was too much. It was opening them too quickly, far too quickly for their consciousness. So we had to tone it down significantly. at any rate, so what they did is they just moved me, and it was an overnight move. It was unexpected, came out of the blue, in validation of my lease, and I've been in real estate all my life, never heard of such a thing. They had already picked out another house, and I've never had the problem since. Where I am now, the energies are so solid that that just absolutely does not happen here. But disembodied spirits, thought forms, things that begin to take on life and grow out of, you know, can become more. They can start out as small and become more.
And there's levels of consciousness there, too, isn't there?
Absolutely, levels of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm with ghosts, you know, things that people are poltergeists, which people feel are actually a phenomena of the human consciousness itself. However, there is an energy that does exist. And, you know, and this program is not designed to scare people. That's not our goal here. This is about impeccability and trying to understand some of these things that, especially right now, may show up, may have already shown up, may be creating questions in your mind about some of the things going on in your life. So, you know, before I kind of talk about some of my experiences with them and have Veronica talk about hers,
I was just going to say something. I just want to interrupt for a sec that I just read a while back that's the plane of desire. So a lot of our desire energy is manifesting in the astral plane.
Well, it can also be negative desire.
Yeah, well, desire has, a full spectrum, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, absolutely. Well, and again, if thought forms can be there, desires can be there, energies can be there.
Right.
And if we think about the negative energies, you know, everybody, the reason we're doing this under the umbrella of the shadow is because these are things that people don't want to admit they have, these negative thoughts and feelings that nobody wants to really own. You know, everybody has been at some point in their life so angry, you know. I remember at one point my husband was having an affair, and I wanted to drive my car right through her living room. I make no bones about that.
I remember my boyfriend was having an affair, and he came in front of a little car. It was my mother's car, and I tried to run him over. I'm really grateful I didn't. Fortunately, he had very long legs. He kind of lifted his leg, and later I went, geez, I could have had a very confined couple of years there. You
yes,
know?
You could have. That's very funny.
Yeah, I have an explosive nature, I suppose. What do you think?
Yeah, well, so, you know, let's talk about where do these, you know, how do they actually come into us? You know, how do we ever get impacted? And I would say everybody at some point has had astral energies in their energy field without even realizing it.
Right.
And this really can come in fear, drama, mm-hmm. okay, drugs, alcohol. Some of these beings can come in looking for the light, actually trying to find the light and kind of hook in and start draining you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great quote from Kasumi. And he writes, when any person, regardless of who they are, and regardless of their spiritual development, emotional or mental development, chooses to focus primarily on darkness or anything that lacks light, they stand the risk of attracting entities. I thought that was a fascinating statement.
It is a fascinating statement. It encompasses a lot.
I'm sorry?
It encompasses a lot.
Right. And I think, you know, again, this addresses also, which I think is an important factor here, those that are pointing the finger, that are really into all of the conspiracy theorists. And I'll tell you, this is where I went to a crash retrieval conference. And I've told the story before, but I'll tell it again. And, you know, my girlfriend said, these are our people, we should go. It was here in Las Vegas, so I'm like, okay. And some people that we knew were going to be speakers there. And, you know, they were talking about crashes back in 1947. You know, I mean, to me, this is like really old hat. You know, look, this happened, and, you know, it's never been disclosed in the government, this and that. Well, I got slimed.
Huh.
And, I mean, literally got slimed. I was there, I think, the first evening, went back the next day, and I could feel my energy starting to tank, literally. And I left early, went home. By the next afternoon, I could barely get up the stairs. And so I had to do a full cleanup to get my energy cleaned up. And literally, it was just like slime. It was like something out of Ghostbusters.
So why do you think at times you would attract that, where other times you would just not?
Well, I was hanging out in an energy
mm-hmm.
where people were really focusing on the negative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So what does that do when you get a group of people together who are all focusing on the negative?
It drops the frequency, major.
It drops the frequency, opens the energies up to all of the astral plane, and you're going to get it. You know, wrong place, wrong time. This is where we really want to use discernment about who we hang out with.
Right.
And this also goes to who we have relationships and friendships with.
Mm-hmm.
There was, and I used to laugh about this, you know, I used to, when I first started the work, I was like, oh, man, I don't want to be clearing this stuff off of people. I don't want it around me. Until I had to become very fascinated with it. And, you know, I try to be loving, you know, now I'm a little more responsible, you know, about sending it into light, bringing in angelic presences to and angelic beings to direct it, to give it an opportunity to cross over into the light and transmute to a higher frequency. They have then the option to go with or not, but they're out of my place. You're out of here, you get to make a choice.
And a lot of healing work, I remember back in the 90s anyway, or way back, it seemed that things were much thicker and it would take a lot longer to move it along, which is partly my own transformation, but it seems like, I don't know, it seems like everything was slower and thicker back then.
When was this that you're talking about?
Early 90s.
You're absolutely right, and I can tell you that I was living in Las Vegas at that time. I left here in 96, and for me, I had to leave. It was like walking through mud.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The energies here were so heavy that I knew if I didn't leave, I wouldn't. Well, I'd already, you know, had the near. Well, I'd already died. But I could not remain here after that experience. And I was so, my energy field was so light after that, after being gone for a couple of hours, that I could not be here any longer.
Huh.
And then I, you know, came back and did some work with the earth here and so on. And so when I came back here to do this work at their request, the energies had transmuted to the point where I could be here. And even at that, I still had problems breathing in Las Vegas for the first... I still struggle with it a little bit.
Hmm.
The energies and frequencies here are pretty tough. But because this is where dark and light comes together. But it's functioning here from... I mean, I have to be constantly vigilant. This is why I don't go into casinos. You know, I'm really careful about where I go and what I do. I have had to learn to be really, really, you know, in choice all the time. And
mm-hmm.
so I know if I've got somebody coming here that works in casinos, I'm going to have to clean them up before we do a session. You know, this is the place where, you know, the dark and light come together, and every temptation known to man is right here. But it's also an incredibly powerful place because there's so much chaos because of those energies, those opposing energies here.
Mm-hmm. On another level, it's like a lot of people who are dowsing, who are pendling, get all the answers. You know, I've had this experience where you get all the answers that you really want, and I believe that that's the astral as well, playing with
it. Oh, yeah, there is no question about it.
I used to use that as a tool to see when I was clear and when I wasn't. It was a game I would play, you know.
Well, you know, I still use a pendulum, and I think it's really interesting. I have one downstairs and one upstairs for the healing room that never leaves the healing room.
Oh, good.
And and I'm always very, very careful about the way I approach anything to be certain that I'm absolutely clear. And I back into it, and I always ask if something matches my resonance and so on. And, you know, I'm very, very, it's never a, this is not a parlor trick, you know, if you're using a pendulum, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I often use it with, you know, with supplements, you know, the number to take and so on, because the body changes drastically from day to day. And, you know, when I'm just really sharp, I just put it up against me and know. But that's the smartest way, and I know this is what you do. You just trust your body.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate, is if we can just trust our body. I tend to use it as a shortcut sometimes because I get so busy.
But I think you're pretty darn clear, actually, Jackie. A lot of people have to learn the art of sensing when your pendulum is clear enough and when it's actually just playing with the
Well, I've been doing this for a lot of years.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, my guides are real clear when I work with a pendulum. And, you know, I tend to keep everything really clean and clear. And I always make sure that my team's around and I know exactly who in the team is my kind of, you know, Fotar is my guy. And we kind of have this very funny relationship. And for those who are listening out there, most of you are aware of Fotar. You'll you know, hear him in a series of clicks. A fabulous being, absolutely a fabulous being who goes in, you know, to court cases and hospitals and all kinds of. He's the one that does, you know, all the all the jobs that the other ones don't even want to think about. You want us to go where? He happens to love the courtroom. That's one of his favorite places.
Great.
And he'll go in with a whole team and think it's absolutely hysterical that they can't see him. And I've had enough experiences with people who were going into court, into trials and so on, to absolutely tell you that he loves to play in that arena. I used to apologize. I don't anymore because he has too damn much fun doing it. So, you know, I want to talk about a couple of things that came up that are really kind of interesting in terms of how do these energies, especially disembodied spirits, kind of show up in your life. And, you know, because everybody's got stories of an aunt or an uncle or a mama or a dad or whoever, you know, that's crossed over and they've had an experience with. I had an investor who I used to call him the John Wayne of Las Vegas. He was one of the finest men I'd ever met, and we had a very close relationship. He was legally blind, and so I did a lot of personal things for him in terms of his finances and so on. That because we had a wonderful relationship, and because he was blind, he decided to kind of go in style, so he had a chauffeured Rolls Royce, and he was just a great man and a great teacher about business and people, and he was one of the most savvy men I ever met in my life. And during the time that he was crossing over, I was up with him at the end. It was quite an extraordinary. I spent a couple of hours with him before he crossed over, and was helping him make the transition. Now he decided that I was to be with this man, you know, the love of my life, that this really was supposed to all work out, and so he stayed. Now, I'm sure there were other reasons, but he tended to hang out a lot with my boyfriend. He always liked this man, and he loved his swagger in business. So now I actually, at one point when it got really dicey, was we were making love one night, and this was the first time I've ever had a menage a deux. And I was like, oh my God. So I decided, okay, well, this is not working. And then I started having experiences where I was having these bizarre thoughts. And, you know, that went way against my good common sense. And it had to do with this man I was in love with, and I knew that, I should not be seeing him. And I would have these bizarre thoughts. You need to go fly to Denver to be with him. You need to go do this. And I kept thinking, where are these coming from? And I had a session with a very advanced soul, one and only session, but it was very appropriate. And they said, well, you know, and I told him, of course, about my menage a ghost and so on. And he said, well, you know, you need to go rent a movie. And I'm sorry, I'll have to count on Squirrel to remember the name of the movie. It was with Richard Dreyfuss, and it was a movie about he was a firefighter and he died and didn't cross over and wanted to be certain that his wife or girlfriend, whatever she was, would find the right mate. In
Always?
What, I'm sorry?
Always?
That's the one.
Okay.
And thank you, Robert.
Bob remembered it.
Oh, good. Thank you, Robert. And so I ran right out the next day, rented it, and went, oh, my gosh, this is it. So I did a thing one night to cross him over in the light, and it always stayed with me because it was such a really interesting story, as always, mine are so exaggerated. The menage a ghost part I thought was pretty fascinating. And then I had someone this last week, actually over the weekend, a friend I've had for 20 years. Her husband called me in a panic, and she was dying, and she had the battling death breath. And she said, get Jackie on the phone, you know, and of course he did. And we were able to stop it immediately. It was her mother, and since her mother had died several months ago, she had lost in 1 month 23 pounds, and she just had gone totally downhill. And doctors could not diagnose why. There was no physiological reason for what was happening to her. So I didn't have a lot of time. I put her in kind of a copper bubble, called in her father, who she adored, and asked him to kind of take care of her because I didn't have a lot of time, and then did a lot of work on Wanda to put her into protection and so on. It was a very interesting, it had to happen so quickly because we were kind of fighting the clock. And she's fine now.
Now, I had an experience like that with a client as well whose family was all in chaos, and she worked really hard with the dad to make sure everybody was fine as the dad died, and then she became very ill and almost died, and it was a huge, very similar kind of thing, that they were attached and she had to break it or else go with them, you know?
Okay, I have to read this. One of our listeners just emailed me and says there's a lot of static that's very strange sounding during the BBS radio broadcast tonight. It sounds like a card's getting snapped, clicked, or something like that. Sort of a flapping sound. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you. Again, this is the astral plane not wanting this information to come out. So
I'm finding it quite hard, actually.
I'm sorry?
The sounds are quite strident. It's quite difficult.
Oh, and I'm not hearing anything.
Oh, they're pretty sharp.
Are they?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yes, it is interesting.
Okay, so now I want to go back to Wanda's mother for a moment. Wanda's mother was a very unhappy woman, horrible to her daughter all her life. And many of us have had, and you and I have talked about this, Veronica, huge issues with a parent in this lifetime, trying to separate, detach, and I'd like you to talk about your mom in a minute. And her mother died angry. And her mother was on the other side of the veil screaming bloody murder. absolutely in stark terror and angry, wanting Wanda to be there. Hello?
Hello, Jackie?
Yeah?
Hey, my name is Brian. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you doing, Brian?
Pretty good. I wasn't sure if you were taking calls or not, so I just kind of called.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just wondering, from your guides and from the spirit beings, I was just wanting to know, is this planet soon going to kind of the quarantine of the planet be lifted?
I'm sorry. Say it again, dear.
I was wondering if the quarantine of this planet, Earth, the quarantine of it,
yes.
I was wondering if that's going to be lifted, where we'll be able to have more contact.
Absolutely.
With,
okay. Absolutely. I can't tell you exactly when. I think it's going to be prior to 2012.
Yeah, I was feeling that too. I wasn't sure.
And this is a variable date. It may be after 2012, but the individual contacts are already happening.
Yes, yes.
And in terms of the quarantine, they're still being very, very careful because we are asking them to be, because we want to make this shift on our own.
Yeah,
now,
I can understand.
Does that preclude us from having individual experiences? No. Absolutely not. And, you know, again, even with my work, and I know Veronica as well, I'm really careful about being certain that people are empowered. What we don't want is the loss of people's power through work with the extraterrestrials or star beings. That's not the goal here.
Right. Yes, yes.
Does that answer your question, Brian?
It sure does. I appreciate it.
Blessings to you, and thank you for
you
calling
too.
In.
You too. And tell Veronica I said hello.
Hi, Brian. I heard you. Wonderful. Good night, Don.
Okay, you guys
Good
have
night,
a wonderful
night.
Evening.
Okay.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye. Bye-bye.
And that is the whole purpose, isn't it, is for us to individuate and actualize our own power.
It is hugely important, and that's why this whole issue with the astrals is very, very important. Now, the planet has been cleaned up a lot
mm-hmm.
from what it was. So we don't have as much going on with the astral plane as you were talking about in the 90s. We had a lot of stuff on the planet in the 90s.
Oh, my.
But it has cleaned up a lot since then. It doesn't mean that we're not going to encounter it. I had another experience with a good friend of mine, and her husband had died, and he hung around for about 7-8 years. And I just kind of waited until she was ready to allow me to help her, and I went over there at her request. And this was just like the movie Ghost. He literally came into my body and wanted to touch everything, touch the water, touch the walls. He had built this incredible home.
Hmm.
And he wanted to show me, I built all of this. He lived in a country club. And so here we were, and he's pointing out and having me touch this and touch that. And it was a very, very interesting experience. And he had agreed that if he was allowed to do this, that he would cross over. That was probably my all-time most interesting experience. I won't ever do it again, only not that way. I was very close to him as well.
You mean you wouldn't let anyone enter your body that way? And
never again, no. It was very emotional. I cried for 2 days and 2 nights afterwards.
Wow.
It was, I would wake up in the middle of the night crying. It was incredibly emotional.
Oh.
Tell
me this, is once they cross over, they can show up again, can't they?
Yes, but they come in a whole different way.
Yeah. My first husband, this is quite funny, my first husband passed, as you know, and when I went to see the movie Ghost, it was about 6-7 years later, he sat beside me all through the movie.
Oh, I love it.
And he always, we used to be very funny together. Anyway, he was sitting and grinning, and I said, "What on earth are you doing here?" And he said, "I just want to see how they're doing it." And it was so in character for him to want to, be there like that. So it was fun.
Okay, let's talk about how we can fix some of this stuff up, because it's very interesting. This is wonderful when we can have a dialogue, as you just did, talked about with your husband. those are joyful experiences, and I think they're wonderful. And
they're often very completing, too.
Yeah. Oh, hugely completing, Veronica.
Yeah.
You know, I have a very close friend, and this is somebody you know as well, Ronnie. And she got involved with a gentleman who, from the, well, it would be the Middle East, and both Morocco and Israel. And he came from a very long line, and he was carrying, interestingly enough, around him were these beings that, you know, and I'm not good on histrionics. Their energy was really going way back, almost Babylonian.
Wow.
And very dark, very controlling. And they began controlling this friend of mine.
Huh.
And they were actually isolating her to the point where they had put, like, needles into her throat and so on. And so consequently, no one could hear even her written word. She was unable to. She was looking for a job, and no one could, you know, she would send out, she sent out over 100 and something resumes. No one responded. It's a very interesting story. Someone else that we know was working on her, who's used to working in those really, you know, interesting energies that, that I would just soon not work in. And so he had her taking salt baths every night, which, you know, are a great way to cleanse the energy. Burning white candles, another great way to keep energy clean in your home. You know, I'll tell another story. This is an interesting story. A wonderful client of mine, who is Palestinian. She lives in Italy, and she has her home staged at least once a week. And she proceeded to tell me that Palestinians always stage their homes. It's a normal ritual for all Palestinians to do this. I found that very interesting.
Hmm.
And she lives in a very ancient home. It's 2,000 years old in Rome. Is it one or two? It's either one or 2,000. It's old enough. And so as old as this place is, it's actually the energy is very clear. She went to Lebanon, where they have another home, and went to see a psychic with a couple of her girlfriends. And immediately got hit with an astral energy, and she contacted me immediately, and she could feel it instantly, and so we got it, you know, cleared her up and so on. But, you know, this is where we're you know, and the caution I put here is not to make people afraid. It's really to get people focused on not focusing on the negative, watching who you hang out with. Okay?
And clearing the space all the time.
And clearing your, there you go.
Yeah.
Being really diligent about that.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I want to go back to the fact that these can, astral energies can often enter in adolescence, which is a time of great confusion for most people.
Yes, right.
You know, this is where the, you know, a lot of adolescents really hit their anger. You know, this, if we've all had children, we all know that, that children, for those of you that hadn't, we can verify, they really act out in adolescence. It's a time of great confusion. The hormones are running amok. They're having lots of shadow thoughts, you know, hugely sexual. God bless them. And,
and they're trying to separate from all authority. But yes.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And they're into high drama. High drama. Mom and dad are stupid, you know. They're really into drama. This is when the drama really gets born in most children. Not the play kind of drama, but the playing out kind of drama.
Mm-hmm.
And for those
then they all
of you,
become movie producers.
Yes, exactly. That's a good one. The for so many people, of course, who have children and grandchildren who are, you know, growing up in a major drug environment right now, and, you know, since drugs have really been on the scene since, what, the 60s, Veronica?
Right.
I missed that, you know, so I was there, I just missed it.
That might have been lucky.
Oh, I don't know. I might have had more fun. But I have certainly seen it with my own grandson, who has been a great experimenter in drugs. And, you know, I've often thought that, you know, this stuff that he would say, you know, sounded so delusional to me. And I would think, where does he come up with this stuff? And he's been psychologically evaluated. They could never find anything wrong. And it's only been in this last week of working with all of this information that I finally got it clear that he had astral energy. I mean, I knew he did. This is the irony. I knew he did. I avoid being around him because the energies around him are so bizarre, okay?
Right.
That for me, they're horribly uncomfortable until he gets off drugs and he's in and out of incarceration and having all kinds of problems.
So it's pretty hard for him to really self-actualize because he's being influenced all the time.
Absolutely cannot. And he has said it to me. I don't know what makes me do these things. I need help. I'm mentally, you know. He doesn't understand why all of a sudden, and he's had this problem since he was five.
Right.
And I started working on him when he was 5 years old with some people. And I'm too close, but I had other people working with me. And he had an attachment at five. And he kept asking his mother about death and this and that. And he, at 5 years of age, put a teacher in the hospital.
Oh, my.
Okay. And this being that was attached to him was wild, just wild, and it was a man. When the being was disconnected from him, he went to his mother and asked him what happened to people when they died and where did they go. And he had this kind of almost a sense of mourning of losing the scene. It was very interesting. So children can have these astral energies as well.
Yeah.
And you know, we don't have a lot of time, so I really kind of want to get into how do we discern between the negative, what's the negative ego, or is it an astral energy?
Oh, piece of cake. We'll sort that out.
Really? Yeah. Well, it was a nice segue, wasn't it?
Yeah, we have 1 minute left. So.
Okay. The negative ego, especially now, wants to destroy you. Its goal is to mess you up. Make no mistake. It will tell you that you're the grandest person on the planet, and it will also tell you that you're nothing. Who do you think you are? You can't have that. You're nothing. Both sides. It will convince you that you're more than and less than. The negative ego can come in either way. You can't always discern the difference unless you really start paying attention. And I would say, which I always say to people, keep a damn journal. Keep a journal. Work with people, you know, that you trust to get you cleaned up. You know, I have somebody work on me every 2 weeks because I'm out in these, I'm out in the ethers. I've got energies running that, you know, as most everybody knows that's been listening to the program for any length of time, you know, for 3.5 years, this has been a real experimental thing in terms of could I handle the energies and still make it be okay? And, you know, how do I do this and clear up all my own stuff and try to be the clearest, and I'll use the word channel, but I use it loosely here, channel for the energies, and which meant that I had to clear up my stuff because otherwise the energies would whack me, which they did. So my own process has been to clear and clean, clear and clean, clear and clean, clear and clean, as most everybody knows. Really pay attention. Really, you know, this is a very big deal for everybody. And right now, and I'm seeing this, and I think probably you are too, Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving into such a wonderful time. The energies are actually very supportive, and I've had several people in the last couple of days who are angry as hell because things are supposed to be better, and they don't understand why they're having problems.
Huh.
And I think it's kind of the last hooray for a lot of stuff where the negative ego is screaming bloody murder, trying to undermine in any way it can. You know, look at all the work you've done. Why isn't your life better? You know, you should have had this. You should have had that.
I'm seeing people go through really intense either losses or changes that can look bad, and then they shift into something good very fast.
Exactly.
It's exciting.
It is exciting, and there is no question about that. But the negative ego stuff where, you know, when we're looking outside of ourselves for validation, okay, or we're in the mode of entitlement, after everything I've done, my life should be better.
All right.
This one can always kick your butt.
That's a negative ego thing?
Oh, absolutely. Now, if you've got astral stuff playing in your life and, you know, it's got you whipped all over the place, you may want to look at that. You know.
Well, what about always? My guides say that 95% of the job is clearing anyway, right? And just the consciousness of clearing can keep moving the astral through, or moving you through the astral to higher planes, can't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, again, it's being diligent about every thought we think,
right,
about where we allow ourselves to sit. If we're sitting in self-pity or in victim or in fear, we're in trouble. That's when you leave yourself really vulnerable. Really vulnerable to the negative ego as well as astral energy.
Right.
Okay, how do you clear them? And I you know, I want to just, because we don't have a lot of time here. Sage your home, sage yourself. Call in your guides, call in the ascended masters. If there are certain masters that you tend to resonate to, great. You know, I don't care if it's Jesus, Kathumi, Melchizedek. I really don't care who it is. Call in the angels and archangels. Do your own ritual. Trust yourself enough. You know, set up a ritual in your home. You know, take a salt bath. You know, sea salt. A couple of pounds of sea salt.
Or apple cider vinegar is also good.
Well, the sea salt is actually better, and they usually use that even around a residence to clear energies.
Okay.
Apple cider vinegar will detox, but it doesn't clear the energies like sea salt does.
Okay.
It will detox the body, but it doesn't clear the negative energies. I don't know if you've ever done a property, which I have, and cleared a property, but we used sea salt all around the property.
Yes, I used to do rock salt in the house in little clumps.
Right. Okay, I got lost there for a moment. All right. Do a ritual. Cross them over. Call in your guides. Call in the masters. Ask them to take, if there's anything around you, whether there is or not, ask them to take it into the light. Let it make a choice. And trust yourself that you are capable of doing this. I mean, you have to stand in your power and authority. Your choice. This is a planet of free will. When you choose, your power, your authority, your choice has power. And certainly now on the planet, it has more power than it's ever had. The other caution I wanted to make, material that you read, channeled material, books, whatever, if you're taking in information and other than getting you excited about, you know, either, you know, if there's that part of you that is excited about end times and Armageddon or the other, which is, you know, all the good news. And yet there's still this part of you that says, you know, is it the child that's getting excited or is it the mature spiritual adult? Does it make sense? Okay, you know, really pay attention to this. I mean, I've seen a lot of things come and go, you know, that all the wealth is going to be distributed on the planet and this and that. Not today, folks. Okay? Not today. That's not going to happen today. There will not be a group landing on the White House lawn today. Okay?
Oh, gall darn it.
Yeah.
I bought my ticket.
So again, you know, this is where you use discernment for the information that you're taking in. You know, I often include things from Celia Finn. Celia's work is brilliant and it's pure.
So you can tell by just how you feel when you're reading
that's it. That's it exactly. Thank you very much, Veronica. That's it exactly. You're right on the money. If you pay attention, not to the ego, but to your highest self, you will know, you will feel when things are right. If there's something, now, there's a lot of information out there that there's a lot of truth to it, and then there's some stuff that isn't. You know, pay attention. Use discernment. It doesn't mean you don't throw the baby out with bathwater, but pay attention to what doesn't feel right, what doesn't really resonate. You know, we're here to become mature spiritual adults so that we can walk in dominion and be an inspiration to others, our families, you know, our children, our friends, everything. You know, not that we're better than, but, you know, we're here to be living examples. And, you know, that takes a lot of responsibility, I think. We're moving up on the hour, Veronica.
Yes.
Oh, please share what your radio show, which is just doing fabulous things.
I'm having a lot of fun with it. Well, my first show is Radiance by Design, Tuesday at 4 p.m. West Coast time. And it's a call-in show, and we have a different subject every week. And then Paradigm Shifters at 5 o'clock is always an interview, and I keep wanting to interview you, Jackie.
But yes.
This coming week is Dr. Eric Braverman, and he wrote a book called The Edge Effect. It's all about the lobes of the brain and the amino acids you can use to shore up the transmissional output and defy aging. So I'm very excited and honored.
Oh, fabulous.
That he would come. It's not just aging, but it's the deterioration of all aspects of our being because our brain gets kind of weird, you know?
Yes, it does.
So I'm very excited about this one, and I know he's a real paradigm shifter, you know?
Absolutely.
So tune in.
And I know in your archives you just did Swami B. What is this?
Oh, Beyond Ananda. Oh, my gosh, Jackie, that was so fun. You must hear it. It's really hilarious.
Well, you've got wonderful things coming up, Veronica, and definitely catch her show on Tuesdays. I'm so excited about the work that you're doing.
Thank you, and you.
And we love you all. A piece of every one of you is in us, and a piece of us is in every one of you. It can be no other way. We really are all one. We love you. Next Thursday, of course, is Thanksgiving. We will probably be running a previous show unless Veronica and I both toss it in and decide that we'd rather do the show than turkey. I know I can't.
Maybe we'll perform the role of a turkey.
Well, yeah, because neither one of us eat turkey, so.
Well, we'll give thanks for that, yeah.
Good night, everyone. Have a fabulous Thanksgiving.
Thanks for everything, Jackie. It was beautiful. Thank you.
Much love to you, Veronica.
Much love.